I want you to be able to see that in whatever situation, trial, tribulation you're in, God is in it. You're going to find a seed of greater or equivalent benefit inside of every adversity you ever face. God is in there. But you got to see him. You have to recognize him. You have to embrace him and his way out, because he always makes a way of escape. He's brought us here to be victorious. In the immigration situation, it has brought people into our midst and into our lives that we could never reach any other way, that they could never receive the gospel any other way. Some of us have been to many nations, and I've been to a few, but there are nations that we couldn't go to, and nations that if we went there, we couldn't preach the gospel. Those people were not able to. But God sent them by his mercy and his grace as the Lord of the harvest to us to give us an opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission, to extend and advance the kingdom and to make disciples of all the nations. So let us be careful of what we're critical about, and let's look for the good in God in every circumstance. He's never going to give us more than we can handle, and he always makes a way of escape. There's nothing that's not common to all men. Don't allow the enemy or your own flesh to sit there and tell you, poor me. That's the last thing I want to hear you to say, because you're not poor me. You are not poor. You are blessed and highly favored. You are rich. You are wealthy in the things of God. Our daddy got all the gold and all the silver belongs to him. All the cattle are on a thousand hills. How could you possibly be poor? You can have a lot of money in your pocket and be poor and wretched if you don't have Christ and the fullness of Christ and the identity of sonship or daughterhood in your life. Then you're poor. But the moment we come to Christ, we come and he brings his wealth with him. He can't help but bring his wealth. He is Jehovah Jireh. So when he came into my life, he brought every bit of provision I'll ever need for anything, anywhere I ever go. I'm coming up on 50 years serving the Lord. And glory to God. I was in my 20s, and when I came to the knowledge of Christ, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, started to get dreams and visions, I come from generational poverty. I come from families of immigration and poverty, and I was born on 2nd Street. There was only one street closer to the river, but they were all on the wrong side of the tracks. But I want you to know, God knows the way out. He knows the way in. He is the way. And what we need to do is to do it his way and not our way. To have a full understanding of how to do it in the natural and the spirit. To combine everything we have to match up with what his promise is to us. His word says in Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And you know, when you're in bondage to anything, the way out of your prison, emotional, spiritual, or natural, is praise. Praise and worship is an offensive and a defensive weapon of warfare that God has given us. Through praise and worship, we can silence the voice of the avenger. That's the devil. That's what it tells us in Psalm 8. And by praise and worship, we can enter into his presence, into his glory. We can press in first to the anointing, then to the fullness of his presence. And in his glory, everything you need is there. It doesn't have to be one specific thing, because if he is there, provision is there, healing is there, health is there, recovery is there, restoration is there. Everything is in his presence. Certainly provision. Jehovah Jireh is just not his name. It's an essence of who he is. And he's a blessing God. He blesses us. His heart's desire is to bless us. His word to us exhorts us to come into his presence with praise and thanksgiving, to be thankful, not just in the good moments, but in the difficult moments, so that we can see him in the little and the large, so that we can see him as the way out and the way into victory. When we look at things through our natural sight and natural circumstances, we are giving a way and place to the enemy in that situation because we acknowledged it. We have to join Christ in his word and allow him to change our mindset, change our thoughts, change our words. Because see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's important how we think. It's important to guard our hearts. It's important to know God's plan, his purpose, his blessing for us. It's important to know him is to know his nature, is to bless. So once I know that that's his nature to bless, he's not going to go against his own nature. And I'm his son. He loves me. He loved me enough to die for me when I was still in the midst of my sin. How much more could he love me but then to give his life for me? When he gave his life for me and the resurrection power of God came into my life, he didn't come with half of his blessing. He came with all of it. I wish I could tell you that I accessed all of it that first day. But I am still accessing and touching wonderful areas of provision and love and promise and blessing of God every day. Every day. The miraculous working blessing power of God every day. New. His mercies and his love are new every day. His blessings are new every day. Wipe that stinking frown off your face and know who you are. You ain't been baptized in pickle juice, baby. That's holy water. Glory to God. I'll be around here sprinkling all over. I want you to tell you something about that holy water. There ain't nothing magic about holy water, by the way, just so you know. It's only a point of contact, the same as oil and everything else. It's the prayer of faith. It's the walk of faith. It's faith that he honors. Faith in action. Faith that not only thinks, but says and does. Faith does. Doesn't just talk about it. It does it. Because faith is in action. So let's never get to that place where our faith is without works. Because without works, our faith is dead. Without the follow-through that's required. To not just have my mind conform to the mind of Christ, but to have my actions and reactions changed into the likeness of Christ that I can walk in his footsteps. Does it mean I have perfect reaction all the time? No, absolutely. You have moments. But as you mature in Christ, as you mature in who you are and the understanding of who he is in you, those moments are shorter and less frequent in your life. But I'm going to tell you that every single day, I have my challenges. My biggest challenges are not outside of me, they're inside of me. My biggest opponent is not the devil. He's already been defeated. My biggest opponent is me. That's the biggest threat to my life. How I think, how I feel, what I say, how I act. Can I get what I believe in my heart to my head so I understand it? Because it needs to come with revelation and wisdom and understanding. And that's how he tries to communicate everything to us. We have to stay in an open posture of our mind and in our hearts. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, what a wonderful, in all circumstances, he says to give thanks. But Brother Rest, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, it doesn't say what you're going through. Whatever you're going through, give thanks. It's coming to pass, not coming to stay. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to do the will of God? Give thanks. Give thanks in everything. Pray without ceasing. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Very simple. What does God ask of man? Very little. Live justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. The people that have, such a burden serving God. You fool. The burden was when I was serving the enemy and serving myself. I remember the burden of sin. I remember when my thoughts captured me continually and overtook me. My feelings, my thoughts, my emotions. When I had no way out, I just kept getting deeper. That takes away the very hope of God. That's what leads us to hopelessness and frustration. Let us get a fresh new perspective of what God is actually trying to do. And let's project that. Let's project that into our own lives. Let's get the right perspective of where we're looking from and where we're headed to. And let's project that. How in the world are you going to project that? Declaration and proclamation. By the words that you say. There's power that's on your tongue. Power to bless or curse. Not just others, but bless or curse yourself. The vision, the call of God that's on your life. Declare it. Proclaim it. Make a way. God walks on his word. Don't just prophesy over other people. Prophesy over yourself. Prophesy over your church. Prophesy over your business. Speak good things. Give God something to work with. You got angels assigned to you from God. And they're assigned to help you fulfill your purpose. I don't direct angels. I ask the Holy Spirit to do that. And I know he's done that. And that's why he has them. What I need to do is speak the words and take the action that can give them something to do. I'm going to tell you, it's a beautiful day, a beautiful dawning of a beautiful new day. It's a beautiful season. You say, Brother Red, how in the world could you say that? This is right before dawn. This is the hour that we've all awaited. We're on the very cusp, on the very threshold of a great move of the Spirit. Some people are already experiencing it. I want to tell you, I have, over the last 7 years, over the last 7 months, over the last year and a half, I couldn't even count the number of miracles that I've had to have, legitimate, documented miracles that I had to have to be here today. I have seen a miraculous working power of God. He's alive. He's on the throne. Don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. You're right on the brink of a miracle. The only thing that can defeat you is self. You have authority over the enemy, but we each have to take authority over ourselves, over our circumstance, over our situation. What an important moment. He says, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every evil, every form of evil. Many of us that are in this room and many that are online have only been walking in a portion of the inheritance that Christ died for. We're only walking in the portion that we can receive, that we can believe. Faith is by believing and by walking in that blessing, by walking it out, by working it out, by walking through the obstacles, the trials, the tribulations. It's by knowing it is before you see it is. It's while all the facts are in front of you, whether they're financial facts from your accountant, whether it's the report from the bank, whether it's the government regulation. They ain't got no power over us. Hello? That God hasn't given them. I'd submit in the right way, according to the Word of God, It doesn't mean that I agree. It means that I know the right alignment. I'm going to talk to you about some practical things, not just about breaking the generational curse of poverty that's on many of our lives, but also some ways to advance to that place of prosperity, to that place of abundance that God has established for us through Christ. I want you to know that it's very important to Him that we're blessed. Some of us here are saved, we're even healed, but we're not walking in the abundant blessing that Christ won for us. We're not walking in that kingdom blessing. John 10, 10 and 11 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives life for his sheep." Gives his life. And he came to bring us life. Not just to survive, not just to get by, but abundant life, to thrive in everything. This jacket may look a little crazy to you, especially on an old guy like me. But from the moment I said yes to Jesus Christ, my life was completely changed. But it's gradually continued to come to a new and a fresh knowledge of the favor and the power, the anointing of God, why He came, what He came, what my inheritance is. It's continuing to unfold before me even today. A lot of people say they got the anointing of Joseph. Wonderful. If you got that anointing, let me see it manifest. Hello? Let's manifest that. I'll be happy to celebrate that with you. The same with being a prophet. Oh, you want me to call you a prophet? You want me to call you apostle? No problem. Let me see the fruit. You got the anointing of Joseph? You got the coat of many colors? Let's see it. Contend with God for it. Did He really say He wanted to give it to you? Then you got to contend with the enemy. You've also got to contend with the natural circumstances and situations that you encounter every day and use the Word of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God to overcome those situations that would try to keep you impoverished. I came from generational poverty, from immigrant families. I was born just one block from the river on the wrong side of the tracks. But God, in His goodness and His mercy, in His love, the price that He paid delivered me from poverty. I want you to know that it wasn't instantaneous, but it's been an ongoing thing continually. The first place is a place of really recognition, honoring, celebrating that's on your life, believing for the manifestation of it in your life. Long before I ever went in ministry, when I was less than 35 years old, I became a millionaire. The hardest thing was not because it's not hard to become a millionaire, that's simple. I mean, that's a millionaire when a million was a million. If you got a million today, you ain't got much. By the way, you ain't got a million. If you got a million today, don't add up to much money. I'm talking about a million when it was a million, real million. God knows how to bless you. God wants to bless you. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you with favor and strength, anointing and power to be victorious in every arena. But you have to join Him in word and in deed. You can't just say it. You have to get up and do it. You have to believe it in your heart. And the manifestation of believing in your heart is the action taken to actually do it. The hardest thing was not making $1 million, but believing I could and believing He would. It was in believing. Most of us walk under this generational thing of unworthiness, so we can't even consider ourselves the fullness of sonship or the blessing of daughterhood that comes with it. Come on. Get up out of that pit, man. Get up out of that cave. Ain't nobody put you in that cave. Christ died for you to get out of that rut. Get yourself together and know your God. Walk in his footsteps. Walk in his blessing. Walk in your inheritance. Stop that nonsense, that belly aching and crybaby mentality. That moaning and complaining cost him a bundle, right along with gossiping. Cost him the very promise of God, because there's power on your tongue. Now, I'm not saying that it's everything, but money does matter. But just because you have money don't make you wealthy. I had a lot of wealthy people around me that were poor and wretched because they had no knowledge of Christ. They had no identity of who they were. Oh, they may have had money to do things that brought them a smile, a happy moment, a happy day, but they never had that. That comes from the joyfulness in knowing Christ is in you, the very hope of glory. What he's trying to rob us of right now is jubilation. He's trying to rob us of our joy so he can rob us of our strength. He's trying to bring us to a place of double-mindedness so that we can't receive the blessing of God that he already paid for. I'm here to tell you that money, the government, or the economy alone cannot break generational poverty. You can have a pocket full of money. You can have a bank full of money. I've seen people with millions of dollars, with a poverty mindset and a poverty life. You got to break those strongholds. Money is not the only form of wealth. Money is like a gun. It's neither good nor bad. If you take that gun and in the midst of a crime you shoot somebody and kill them, the gun ain't evil. The shooter was evil. You give that same gun or that same dollar to a policeman in the midst of a crime, he saves someone from becoming a victim. The gun's not a hero. The one that pulls the trigger was the hero. It's not the gun. The same with money. Money's a tool. Money's a weapon that we can use, that he put in our arsenal. Wealth is a way to help us to develop influence, to extend and advance our influence. He has it all. There's nothing missing. He didn't give me one thing and you another. He accessed us the same. He's not a respecter of persons. Not ever. We have to know that we're all entitled to that. What good is it if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? So money ain't the whole ticket here. Money is not the fullness of wealth. Sometimes we feel so unworthy to be blessed. But I want you to know that I'm not blessed for my sake. I'm blessed for Christ's sake. Hello? When I deny the fact that I am blessed and highly favored, I deny the work of the cross and the sacrifice that Christ made for me. With my words, my action, my thought. I have to declare that blessing. I have to believe it in my heart. I have to know that he did it for me. Not because I'm worthy, but worthy because he's worthy. And because when the Father looks at me, he sees Christ and the sacrifice and the blood of the Lamb. He sees the blessing. He sees my sonship and yours. Sometimes we feel so unworthy, we beat ourselves out of the blessing. Sometimes we think we're so small, so unnecessary. Just like a grain of sand on the beach. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 32 to 34, he says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's his heart's desire to give you and I the kingdom. Can you be a miracle receiver? Can you actually receive that? Can you actually say, yes, I have access to all of this in Christ. It is all Christ, so it's all mine. But true covenant means that all that's mine is all of his. So I don't own anything anymore. And in the New Testament, I give up my right to ownership, and I move to the New Testament model of covenant, which is stewardship, that I'm responsible for everything he gives me, for everything I earn, that it's all his, not 10%, that I begin to steward what he has. And people don't deny tithing because they want to give 20%. Hello? You want to emulate Jesus Christ? He's a giver. He's a blesser. He's going to give. You can't ever outgive him. Not ever outgive him. You want to get a piece of his nature? He's a blessing and a giving God. If you're a grouchy runt that don't want to give nothing to nobody, hello? You're going to just block your own kind of pick and blessing. Stop being stupid. Emulate Christ. It's greater if we give than it is to receive. Hello? I mean, sure, you like to receive. Yeah, I like that song. My favorite, but I got Miracle Receiver. But you know what that puts everything in play? Is that a miracle giver who gives it by faith, who continues the foundational promise of the law of prosperity in Christ and God, which is seed time and harvest. If I don't give, I rob myself of my own blessing. It's not how much I give, it's how I give of what I have. People say to me, if I hit the lotto for $1 million, I'll give it to God, give it to the church. You're a liar. Because you're going to get paid this week. What are you giving to God? Well, what you got? Say, I don't have much. He's not asking for much. He's asking for what you got. Don't you remember the widow? Come on. You think he was just talking? He didn't need to fill up pages. That's the truth. If you want to catch the heart of God, be a giver. Be a real giver. Giver of yourself. Giver of your time. Giver of your energy. Giving of your resources, your talent, your ability. Stop being so stinking selfish and think only about you and yours. It's about being beyond yourself. And some people, they want just enough to take care of themselves or just enough for their family, and all of a sudden they're a hero. That don't make you a hero in God's book. We are supposed to take care of the hungry, the broken, the lost, the wounded. What we do here at the Kingsway and in this city and at the outreach that we have at the other churches, it's about getting outside of ourselves. It's about giving to people who are not able to give back. But I want you to know, the ones who wake up, who are given, they're not just going to keep receiving. They're going to give back everything they have, their time, their energy, their prayers, their moments, their respect. They're going to give. Give up what you got. It's not your substance. It's not only money. Give up your personality. Give attention. Come on. Pay attention. Glory to God. Find a systematic way of bringing your heart into alignment with who Christ is. And bring your mind into that alignment as well. That was just the beginning in Luke 12, 32. Then he says, after he says that, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags, which you not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. So if your treasure is in your pocket and in your greed and in your belly, then that's where you are. We got to get beyond that. And each one of us capture the giving heart of Christ, the great giver, the great giver of self. He gave everything, including his life. Don't tell me you ain't got nothing. You got a life. You got time. If you're still breathing, you got breath. Do something with it. Do something with it. I exhort you to do something with it. And if you don't, you'll know that you were here today and I told you. And this ain't the first time I told you. Do something with it because you're going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. And you'll be accountable for what you did and what you had and what you did with that. He doesn't expect me to go beyond anything that he gave me. I'm not in competition with you. I compliment you. I'm responsible for the gift and the call of God that's on my life. But we are all responsible to give of what we have, who we are. Get up and do something. Hallelujah. See, because those treasures that are in heaven, the enemy can't steal them or rob them. Regardless of the circumstances, trials, and tribulations we go through, those blessings remain. In Romans 5, 3 through 7, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. He gave us the Holy Spirit with a purpose. He baptized him with the Holy Spirit with a purpose. The purpose, the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit is to win souls, is to extend and advance the kingdom, is to feed the hungry, house the homeless, the widow, the orphans, the ones that can't pay back. Let's get to his heart. Let's get his mind. Let's go to his teaching and not just rehearse them as words, but turn them into a lifestyle. Turn them into an acting force, an active force. Where? Not where I'm at, not where Maeve is, not where Patty is, not where Anne-Marie is. Of course, each of us have different giftings and talents and ability. But do the most that you can with what you've been given. Do every possible thing you can. Work to your level of ability and anointing and calling and gifting. And then when you're done, give a little more. When you've given all that you can, that next step is the step that brings you into the fullness of the promise. When you have done all you can, take one more step into that place called faith. It's important that we continue to move forward, continue to go forward. Now, I'm going to talk to you now about the spirit of poverty. I was under a generational spirit of poverty, and so are a lot of others, and so are some of you. Some of you have come to this nation, have come to this city with the hope that God was going to prosper you and break the poverty that you came out of. But you don't just need to break the poverty off. You need to break the spirit of poverty that makes you continue to think poor. Act poor. React poor. Not recognize who you truly are so that you can walk in the faith of the blessing and the promise and the anointing of God. How do you do that? By continuing to give. By opening those doors up. I already took the offering, so don't get scared. They took the offering. It's no big deal. This is not about your offering. This is about your life, man. This is about your lifestyle. This is about your mind, about your heart. Because he's all about the heart. When you come to see him, don't think it's about the little issues, about the here, the now, the little thing. Everything's about the heart. It's all about your heart. Are you walking in the heart of Christ? As well as the footsteps of Christ. When you walk to people, can they see Christ in you, the hope of glory? Do they know that help is on the way? That coat of many colors that Joseph had on was not just for him. That was to bless his family, his home, bless Egypt. Hello? He called to bless Egypt, to bless the enemy. Hello? And to bless his own people. The anointing the coat of many colors, the anointing of Joseph. You think it's just to make you rich and fat? He blessed Abraham to be a blessing. Yes. He blessed Joseph to be a blessing. Yes. You're going to stop that and turn it into a puddle instead of the river of blessing that's meant to flow through you. He said, well, I don't have. You have. Do and give what you have. That's all he's asking for. He's not asking for anything you don't have. And if you're faithful in the little, he'll begin to give you more. It's from working from where I'm at. Your faith continues to grow and continues to build when you stretch it and apply it. I tell you, he speaks to me more a lot of times during the offering and in the bathroom, actually. The most unusual things that he says. But he is constantly, through the power of his spirit, challenging me to take another bold step. Even when my heart, my mind, my intelligence, my accountant, my lawyer, hello? Everybody around me is saying no. Take the bold step. We're not to walk under the curse. I'm going to give you some four or five things here that are really important and really practical. So I believe that the gospel is practical. I read to you the scripture so that you know the foundation. Now I'm going to give you some practical applications of things to do. One of the ways you know that there's a spirit of generational poverty on you is when you're working real hard as you possibly can. And you're actually making money, but you never have anything to show for it. You get this money, and the refrigerator breaks. The car breaks down. This happens. This next thing happens. You're doing everything you possibly can. You're fighting against that spirit of poverty. You're declaring, you're proclaiming, you're doing all the things you're supposed to do, yet this is still there. Then it's not the mechanics of what you're doing or the mechanics of you walking out the word, but then it's actually a curse. If you find that these things continue to chase you, if you know in your background the things that you see in your own life are the things that you saw in your mother, father, grandmothers, and grandfathers, if that mentality is that everything is mine. We put it on the table, and I grab mine. I want to tell you, I was a middle child of seven. And you had to be bold and courageous to eat. But I came to realize that my daddy got all the food. Abraham, when he stood on the hill with his nephew, he knew he was anointed with favor. So he didn't have to pick which way. He didn't have to pick the quality ground. He told his nephew, you pick what you want, I'll take what's left. Because he had this. He had the favor of God. When you got the favor of God, the anointing of God, you have to be in no fear. When you know you got it. When you walk like you got it, when you live like you got it, because you know that you know him that's in you, you don't have to take the biggest hunk. Hello? Because God's going to turn it into whatever. You look at when Israel gave to his sons, the sons of Issachar, which are going to be the leaders in the end days. He called them donkeys. He called Issachar a donkey. Gave him the rockiest, nastiest piece of ground of the bunch. He was blessing all these other ones and calls Issachar a donkey. And gives him the worst piece of land. But he knew the heart of Issachar. And Tedesicorn knew who he was. And he wasn't afraid to kneel down and shoulder that burden. And it turned into the greatest piece of land of all. So now it's important that we have an understanding of who we are and who he is, of our true sonship. We're not to walk under the curse. It says in Galatians 3:13 that he took the curse of the law upon himself. Because everyone that hangs on a tree is cursed. But then he says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We got the anointing and the Spirit of God coming. Why to us? Gentiles who didn't believe. Huh? By the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the new covenant, by the power of promise. He gave it to Abraham so Abraham could be a blessing. This is the easiest part, is breaking in the whole battle, is breaking the spiritual curses. And I'm going to do that today, and I'm going to break those curses off of us. Break those curses off this building, off this city. This city has been cursed by themselves. One of the first times I came into this city, I'm coming down the street, and there was a big banner. It said that a city, Hamilton, a city for schizophrenia. I said, hey, let's call the mayor. It's a city against schizophrenia. Yes. Not for it. Yes. Against it. Yes. We have to know the enemy. And we have to know who Christ is in us and the ability and power and strength that he gave us. The power to break those curses has already been won by the blood of Jesus Christ. But today we're going to break those curses off that may come from family, may come from city, may come from environment, may come from the nation that you came from, may come from generations back, still visiting on you, still manifesting themselves with a poverty mentality. That's another way that you know that there's a spirit of poverty. And there are some things that, to this day, I fight. And I have to continue to fight. How long? Forever. You know, I go to your house, you give me a big plate. You want to bless me and all with this big plate. We're going to God. The house I lived in, you ate every single thing that was on the plate, whether you liked it or didn't like it. Whether you were filled up, when you were filled up, that didn't matter. Your plate had to be empty. So I emptied my plate almost all the time. Right? Why? Right? The poverty mentality that came from that generation, that witnessed firsthand depression, hunger, thirst. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying there's things you need to look for that are pointers for you, that you can identify a spirit of poverty on you so you can pray against it, pray it off of you. Get deliverance from it. Walk in freedom and liberty. Walk in the blessing that God has for you. There's no reason in the world that we are supposed to walk in the curse. We're to walk in the blessing. He gave us the power over the curses. And all the spirits that are connected and related to the spirit of poverty that make you react and act wrongly, think and think wrongly, speak and speak wrongly, we have to take authority over them, or we continue to call it back into our lives. And then we become, instead of becoming one that truly gathers for Christ, we gather for self. So that we lose the kingdom benefit of expanding the kingdom in him and getting the fullness of the blessing. The spiritual battle, breaking strongholds and curses, that's the easy part. Now I'm going to get into some of the more difficult parts, and I'm going to come back to this, and I'm going to break that curse off of this house, off of this place, off this ministry, off of this city, and off of you, off of your family, off of your children and your children's children. They are not to walk over the under the curse. The curse broke with me. And I will not allow my children to walk under that curse of poverty. I'm going to continue to fight for it. That doesn't mean that I feed it with money, because money is not the answer to overcoming poverty, nor is the government the answer. You got to go to Christ. And if you want to know that money, throwing money, don't work, look at what the government does. Look at what they've done on the native reserves. Look at what they've done in times of colonization. Hello? Throwing money at the problem is not the solution. It's developing that mindset of change and prosperity, of walking out the blessing that God put on your life, about changing you from a receiver to a giver. You say, but I need. If you need, then give. When I was up here the last time, I needed a breakthrough so bad. And I was getting my doors blowed out. I said, God, I know your promises. I know the way to prosperity. I understand the principle of seed time and harvest. God, I ain't got no seed. You got to show me. You got to give me seed. You got to show me where my seed is. I can't find my seed. I look in the bank account. I didn't have no seed. I looked at where I was. I had nothing that was viable at that time. However, there was a truck that I really liked. I'm a Chevy man. And I liked this old-fashioned style truck, an Avalanche. Beautiful, wonderful paint job with white and all the gold flecks. Redid the inside. That's my machine, baby. You kidding me? All the back, nice, black. All the leather, everything done. It was an idol. I rarely used it. You know what I mean? I had other vehicles. I used that, but most of the time the ministry used it. He said, you're looking for seed? How about look at the truck? The truck. I like the truck. You know what I done with the truck? The truck was in bad shape when I got it. He knew. He didn't say nothing. After he said that, he said zero. Now the ball was in my court, what I was going to do with it. From here, I picked up the phone and told them to transfer everything over to that. Why? Because I needed a blessing. He gives seed to the sower. That's his promise. I reminded him of his promise. So he showed me that I had seed. Before I got home, word came that the blessing that I was waiting for, the sale that was pending for so long, came through. Somebody say amen. He's done it with money, with health, and everything else. He honors his word. The next thing, after breaking these curses and strongholds, is to change our mindset and believe that we can. Faith plays a huge role, knowing that the heart of God is to bless and to prosper us as our soul prospers. To bind our minds to the mind of Christ. When he says he wants us to prosper in all ways and in health as our soul prospers, we need to take care of our soul. We need to guard our heart. We need to feed our spirit with the Word of God, with the presence of God. We need to do it in prayer. We need to do it in work, in true sacrifice, in true willingness to do something. The greatest sacrifice is the one I take, turn my talent or ability or whatever into seed. Once you really believe seed time and harvest, you spend your whole life saying, God, where's my seed? You give seed to the sower. Show me where my seed is. Show me what I can do to break this stronghold moment. Show me how I get out of this mess. You know the way. The way out is seed. The way out is giving. The way to receiving is with giving. I'm not taking offerings, so don't get scared. This is about living by biblical principles for prosperity. And get out of that poverty mentality and lifestyle. where you got to receive everything from someone else. That entitlement spirit will chew up you, your children, and your grandchildren. He'll eat your blessing and he'll eat your lunch. Number three, utilizing God's laws, plans, and principles so that I prosper systematically. If I give, I don't want to give haphazardly. I want to give scripturally, biblically, and systematically because I want to reap biblical and systematically. I want to reap abundantly. So I want to sow abundantly. Not comparing my abundant to yours, but my abundant to what I have. That's the widow's message. That was God's message with the widow. He'll challenge you to give something you really think you need to hold on to. If there's something in your life that you're trying to hold on to, if it has something that identifies you, if you're holding on to it for safety's sake, the safest thing you can do is to release it to God. You can put it in no better hands than in the hand of God. Give it to God and see if he won't multiply it for you. He said, concerning these things in prosperity, he said, test me on the biblical principles for giving, whether it's tithing or first fruits, seed time or harvest. Let's do it. Let's continue to work it out. Let's continue to walk it out. And certainly, most importantly, to give alms. But you got to know what the blessing is for. When you give alms, I want you to know you don't get a hundredfold return. Do we know what alms is? When you give to the hungry, to the poor, to the weak, we give alms to the King's way. I don't want you to think that that's your seed. That's your alms. You give your time, you volunteer there, that's your alms. What that gets you is what it got Cornelius. The sweet scent of the giving heart of Cornelius to give alms and pray went up to God and gave him favor for him and his entire family. Hello? God came and visited him. That heart gave him, captured the attention of God. When you give alms, he makes sure that you never go hungry. Read about what alms are and what the blessing is. So that you give systematically, that you give biblically, that you give with understanding. Because I want to receive biblically. And I want to receive systematically. If I'm looking for the new wine, I'm going to give first fruits. I'm going to start something. I want to break something. How am I going to do it? I'm going to give. I'm going to break through a moment. I'm going to give into that. Not something I don't have. I got something. You got something. The widow had something. He took the little she had. The boy came with his lunch. Wasn't much, but he got blessed, got his name in the big book, and fed everybody with it. God knows how to, come on, God knows how to multiply that baby for you. Utilizing God's laws, plans, principles to prosper systematically. Tithes, offerings, giving alms, first fruits, and of course, seed time and harvest, which is 100,000-fold return. Now there must be, the supernatural return is in seed time and harvest. Now there must be a natural side that follows through from the spiritual side and the spiritual plan. What happens in the natural also happens in the spirit. What happens in the spirit happens in the natural. They follow side by side throughout every walk of our lives. If we're going to be walking in the footsteps of the Lord, let us walk out our blessing, walk out the promise, walk out our healing with faith, with hope, and expectation of return. Let's do it systematically. Let's utilize the plan and the purpose of God. The fourth thing, work. Work is not a dirty word. He blesses the work of our hands. Give him something to bless. He blesses those who are diligent in the work. Diligent in their seeking. Faith without works is dead. Works are the manifestation of your faith. The fulfillment of your faith in action. That's why when somebody says a prophetic word, I sing it back to them. I pray it back to them. Right? When I hear the word of the Lord, I declare it back to him. Why? I want to show him that I am responding in the natural realm to what I agree was his spiritual application for me. So I have to step into that to actually do the works, to actually bring myself into alignment. What do you think he's going to do? You think you're going to sit in that lounge chair and he's just going to sit there all day, watch the boob tube, and let it rain down blessing on you? Hello. He's going to put a tree in your living room and this money's just going to fall on you. What kind of banana are you? Now, you may get some kind of socialist government or something that sends you a check. But I'm going to tell you, you got to get out of that mentality and get into kingdom living and kingdom lifestyle, into that land of more than enough, into that place where Christ meets you in a place called faith, where your faith becomes action, where you actually believe what you're thinking by what you're doing, that you express your faith by works, by what you do, by your response. It doesn't mean it's perfect all the time, but the wonderful thing is we got the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the cross and the power of repentance. When I miss it, I try to get back on it as quick as I can. I try to get myself right back on track, right by the end. Sometimes it takes a little bit. Sometimes people remind me, especially my wife. That's why God called her. Now, I believe that utilizing God's plans and laws and principles to prosper us systematically is important. I believe work is important. I believe the works of our faith are important. The next thing is education. You say, why don't you talk about education here? I believe that one of the strategic natural things that break the generational spirit of poverty is education. One of the things that happens in the midst of slavery and colonization and anything with dictatorships is they take away your ability to be educated. Hello? They don't want you to read. They don't want you to learn. They want you to grow. Hello? They want you to stay in a place of mission. I don't ever want the government, the circumstance, or any man to keep me from furthering my education. Education is an ongoing lifetime quest. Now, it's important that the way to break this generational poverty is education in the natural and in the spirit. Sometimes we rain on our own parade. Pee on our own parade. Here the kid comes. The kid needs some money, wants to go to college. Huh? Now, I don't give the kid the money for college, but I give the money to the college for the kid. And I want to see the grades, by the way, at the end. I want to see some performance with it. Hello? Whenever I give something, I want to see that I gave to something worthy and that what I gave it for was worthy of that. But education is the key to breaking generational poverty. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Sometimes the government restricts us. Sometimes finances restrict us. There's a lot of things that can restrict us from getting our children educated. But sometimes we do it ourselves. Like, I made it, and I didn't go to college. I didn't even finish high school. That kid can make it on his own. Are you proud, bold, stupid self? Get out of there. Get him an education. You want to break generational poverty off of your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? Don't throw money at them. Wrong, not the solution. Don't throw things at them. Throw concepts and ideas that are going to motivate them to move in the right direction. Be as diligent as you possibly can to make them get an education, no matter how uneducated you may be. has nothing to do with me. It has to do with my Father's heart, that I want my children and my grandchildren to be the men I never am, that I could be the man that my daddy never was. He went to the seventh grade. I was one of the first ones to graduate high school. My whole family, extended family, anybody I even knew, one other person. It was crazy. Education is a key. Specialized education in your field is key. General education. Once you have education, nobody can take that from you. Now, there are some people that are sitting in the room that you may have been educated in another country with a different language, and you may have a degree in something. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I don't want you to walk in here and think now because you got that degree that you got the goodies and they owe you something. That ain't how it works. You come into a new society and a new culture. If you want to be successful, you better learn the language of the culture. You better learn the rules of the government. Don't hang on to the government rules where you came from. They don't apply here. Hello? Some people, they want to, and I got, you know, from where I came from, I got a lot of friends. They spent their, I grew up in the 60s and 70s with the hippies and rebellion and the crazy nonsense that was going on everywhere. Right? Some of my friends, people I knew, way smarter than me, they kept trying to rebel against the government, against about everything. You want to win? You got to play by their rules and don't waste all your time trying to bring new rules. You need to balance that. I need to play by the rules that are in force right now. And I can't play by them unless I know them. So I got to know how to get out of poverty. I got to know how to bring conformity to government standards and regulations. It doesn't mean that on the side I'm not trying to bring forth change as a change agent. But to win, I want to take their system and understand it and use it against them. Against my enemy, that's poverty. I want to succeed in spite of that. But if I don't know the rule, and I do whatever I want, I'm going to end up in the brig. Whether it's spiritual or natural, I'm going to end up in the bunker. They're going to end up taking my money, fining me, imprisoning me. I'm here. I got to honor the laws of the land. How can I do that if I don't understand them? I have to play by the economic rules of the playing field that we're in right now. I have to understand it. I have to understand the natural principles. And I need to conform to that at the same time that I'm bringing forth change and declaring the new. Not from a point of negativity, but from the point of victory. Yes. That I've overcome the system. Yes. Because of Christ in me. Yes. And how he's taught me. And through that, I'm going to have more impact and influence. Yes. Because now I have more resources to work with and to fight with. You got to beat them at their own game. Don't think the only way you're going to win is if you change the game. Because the game may not change in your generation. You have to succeed in the now. In the now! Right where you're at! You can't wait till the rule changes. You got to start where you're at. And do everything you possibly can. And in the background, with balance and with wisdom, be a change agent. But first and foremost, listen to Romans. How am I supposed to react? What did he say? Yeah. Render unto Caesar. That what is Caesar's. Under God, that what is God's. I beat them at their own game. The rich guys hated me. The ones that came from generational money, they never wanted me to succeed. They knew where I came from. I didn't make them my enemy. I made poverty my enemy. Because spirits and not people. I had to keep my heart in a proper posture. I couldn't wait till the system changed and embrace somebody like me. I had to start where I was at. Or I'd waste years waiting for the right opportunity. I want you to know right now, opportunity is knocking on the door. You have not because you ask not. Hello? You ain't doing it because you ain't doing it. You got to get up and start to do it. You got to develop that mindset that does it, that does it, that does it, that does it, that continues to do it. And you're going to find your place in a place of breakthrough. You're praying for a loved one? You know, it's those that diligently seek him. Be diligent. The prayer of the righteous and the prayer of faith brings healing, brings hope, brings change. The same as it brings salvation, it brings. The prayer of faith brings healing. The prayer of faith brings prosperity. When you pray, pray with faith. Pray with expression. Pray with works. Put your faith to work. Start where you're at. Don't wait for an opportune moment because it'll never come. If you wait to sow your seed for a sunshiny day, you got a long wait. This is the season. When do you sow your seed? When you're in season. How do you know you're in season? You're in need. How do I know I need seed? It's because I need harvest. Because I got shortcoming. I got to stay ahead of that by continuing to sow. When I cut off the flow of one, I cut off my flow additionally. Some of you may not have heard teaching like this in church because it's not your typical Sunday morning message. It's practical and application. God wants to prosper you as your soul prospers. He wants to bless you in every possible way. He wants you not only to take the spiritual side of blessing and break the curses, but he also wants to change your mindset. He wants to bind your mind to the mind of Christ. He wants to renew your mind by the word so that you understand that you are a child of blessing, so you can believe it. We must have the true heart of the Father when we're dealing with our children and grandchildren. And the heart of the Father, of your Father, is that I want to be the man my daddy never was, so that my kids can become the men and women that I never shall be. That's the gift of a father. That's the heart and the mindset of a father, that you want better for them. The way to do that is break the generational curses and bring your life into alignment with the word. You don't have to tell them. Show them the change. You don't have to tell them how you changed. They'll know you changed. Demonstrate that. So often we do it with our mouth and wonder why they don't listen. In the midst of every atrocity, I want you to know that it's important that we educate our children and prepare them, our sons and daughters, for victory, for prosperity. The next thing is personal discipline and stewardship. That New Testament model of covenant, that everything belongs to God, that we're stewards and not owners, that we steward the blessing of God, that he blesses us to be a blessing. You have to change your mindset. Because when the money's on the table, my account, my house, my car, my kid, you missed the whole boat. God first, his kingdom, and then us. We're going to get blessed. You got to know you're going to get blessed. Otherwise, you'll keep putting it in your pockets. Otherwise, you'll keep throwing money at problems. And challenges, and think you're going to fix it, because it ain't going to happen. Well, if I have this money, I'm going to be able to help this kid. No, you want to help the kid? Teach the kid how to fish. Make him fish. Bring him to the water. Make him fish. Bring him to the place, to the source that you have. But you got to go there first yourself. I got to defeat poverty in my own life before I can defeat it on the generations that are meant to come after me. Personal discipline and stewardship is what I do with that money. And everything that's ours is his. And everything that's his is ours. We got a great deal. But he wants to see what we're doing with it. Well, what we have now. I don't have. You have. Take of the little you have. Test God. You think he's afraid of you? And your goofy loonies and toonies? And your government situations and your old country mindset? He ain't afraid of that. Test him. Give something with intent. Give something with expectation. Give something that you really want to keep. Give something that's important, that's substantial. Don't put a weak, broken down old lamb on that altar. The best you got. And don't let somebody else make the sacrifice for you. Because if you pray for me, you're going to reap for me. If you sow for me, you're going to reap for me. When he wanted to buy a place, a piece of ground, a piece of land, a place where he was going to make and build an altar and stuff there. And the guy says, hey, I'll give you the land. He said, no, I'll pay for it. He said, why? Because it's not about the receiving, it's about the giving. It's greater to give. I always want to try to pay my way. When I give a sacrifice, I want it to come from here, from my heart. I want it to come the best I can. And I want to bring the best I can. I don't want to bring up the wounded, the lame sheep. I want to bring up the best sheep I got. I like that truck. I like the gold metal flake paint job. You know what I mean? You pull in the gas station late at night, and the lights would shine off of that gold fleck. Hey. Find out what it is. What it is you got to give. What's meaningful to you? What's big to you? Not big to me. You ain't in competition with nobody. Be a good steward. Budget your money. You actually want to know how deep you are in God? Two ways you can tell how deep you are in the Spirit. Where did you spend your money? And what are you praying about in your prayer closet? You check that, and you'll find out how deep you are in God. Because if it's in your account, it ain't in his account. If that's all you're praying about is your kids, your life, your new truck, your new car, you are in a rut. And a rut is nothing but a grave that never ends unless you end it. You have to change your mindset to the mindset of Christ. Finally, you have to live and build with legacy in mind. Living on after you're gone. Remember, he said, your heart is where your treasure is. Let's let everything that we do come back to the purposes of God and his kingdom. I believe that the greatest kingdom promise, the greatest kingdom principle, is in Matthew 6:33. It's the first kingdom principle. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Where is God really in your life? And the motive of why you're on there and what you're doing. Are you going just to get blessed, or are you going to be a blessing? What's your mindset? What's your mentality? What's your heart position? Let's turn this thing around completely. It's a day of liberty and freedom, a day of thanksgiving. I have so many things to be thankful for. I'm going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving over us and to God. I'm going to break that spirit of poverty. But I could break it off today, and you don't change your works, your ways, your thoughts. I'm going to have to break it off again next week. And then the next week. and then the next week. Sooner or later, somebody's got to break this chain. I decided a long time ago I was not going to live in poverty. I would not live under a spirit of poverty. I refused to. It became my enemy. And I made up my mind that I would not allow my children to live in poverty. Not because I give them money, but because I give them opportunity and understanding of why. It's very, very important. We need to be building a generation that knows their source, that knows where they're going. If they know how to give, they'll know how to receive. If they don't give in the little they have, they ain't going to give in a lot. People tell me, my son, my cousin, my nephew got the anointing of Joseph. Glory to God. What do you think? He's going to be anointed like Joseph, and he ain't been in church in 5 years? He's serving the devil, drinking beer, getting high? Where's he going to lead people to? Ain't no blessing in that. So stop fooling yourself. Start confronting that spirit so you can break the spirit of poverty with truth. Because if the kid don't come, the grandkids ain't coming to church. And they ain't going to know God. But a little dab over here or there, and a little dab ain't going to do you. You got to actually know God. We got to start confronting the situations that are gone. Don't give frivolously, but give with purpose. And the purpose is to change, a positive change. Father, I give you praise and honor and glory. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that you have given us. I thank you for this great nation of Canada. I thank you for the United States, for the free world, for the Western Hemisphere. Father, I thank you for the great harvest, and you're the Lord of the harvest. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing and the favor and the anointing. Oh, God, take not thy anointing, thy spirit from me. Lord, let a fresh anointing be released in this place today. The mantle of many colors. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, according to the word of God in Galatians 3:13, I break every curse of generational curse of poverty. I break every poverty curse, whether it was a witchcraft curse, whether it was a generational curse, whether it was a self-induced curse by my activity that opposed the will of God by my own actions. Father, we repent before you. And choose to turn again and follow you, your ways, your will, your purpose, and your plan. We know that your heart is that we prosper as our soul prospers. So, Father, lead us, guide us, direct us, protect us. Put us in that place where our soul can continue to prosper, where we can learn, where we can grow, where we can become what it is you've called us to be. We give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. We thank you for peace and the peace that's on the way. We thank you for what you're doing right now around the world to bring forth a season of peace. I declare peace. I declare prosperity. I declare blessing in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus right now over our minds, over our bodies, over our understanding, over our emotions. I break every generational curse now. I break it off right now, according to Galatians 3:13. And every interconnected and interrelated spirit, every attack and every assignment of the enemy that accompanied that curse, however I left the door open, today I close that door, and I declare liberty and freedom. I command every spirit to lift, to loose its hold, and to go. Poverty mentality, I bind you in Jesus' name. Thoughts and fear of poverty, I bind you in the name of the Lord. Fear of poverty that causes me to greed and to desire things for myself. Right now, Father, I just thank you that all of that is going to lift. Right now, every bit of flesh, let it just rise up and come off. Every spirit, spirits of transferred spirits, spirits that came with the city, with the nation, with the form of government, with the laws, with the regulations. I break every curse, no matter where it came from. I break those curses now, and I command those spirits to leave. I declare prosperity. I declare blessing. I declare turnaround. I declare breakthrough in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prosperity in every form, in your health, in your family, in your hope, in your faith, in your placement, in your heart. I declare prosperity now, that you would prosper in all things. Right now, I declare healing over our minds. Healing from childhood hurts. Healing from diseases, disorders that were put on us generationally. I break those generational curses that bring disease and disorder. I command all those spirits. I break the curse of cancer in Jesus' name. I break the curse of blood disorders and heart disease in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break the curse of diabetes, mellitus. I break that curse right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break every curse that brought with it any kind of health issues, allergies, or issues that were transferred in the womb. I command those spirits to go, and I break those curses. I declare liberty. I declare freedom. Right now, I bind our minds to the mind of Christ, that and to our bodily functions, that our bodies would function according to what we know and believe in our mind, that is in alignment with your word. Right now, I ask you, Lord, to bind our mind to the mind of Christ, to bring us in that perfect alignment with your word, with your will, with your purpose, that we may bear fruit and fruit that lasts, that you may bless us and use us to bless many others, that you could light us like a candle and put us in the window and let everybody see what happens when somebody grabs hold of you, your heart, your word, your will. Father, I ask that your blessing, that your favor rest on your people. You bless them physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally. I come against the spirits of trauma and fear, illness and disease. I break your hold in the name of Jesus Christ. I break every spirit related to the spirit of condemnation that would condemn us to give in when we know the right place to stand. I break that condemnation in Jesus' name, that we would have liberty, that we would have freedom. I declare freedom. Freedom in every single thing. Freedom of expression. Freedom of creativity. Freedom in the mind. Freedom in the thoughts. I declare release right now of vision and hope for the future, that we will look at the positive side of everything to do, that we'll find you in the negative moments and find your blessing, your seed of blessing that's in every possible experience. Here we are, Lord. We're looking for you. We're chasing hard after you. Give us that faith that's active, Lord. I declare energy, strength, renewal, revival, restoration of everything that was taken, everything that was stolen by the enemy. I call it back right now. I break a spirit of grief off of this house and off each one of our lives and hearts. I break the spirit of grief that the vision died, that someone died, that hope died. Let hope abound, Lord. Let hope arise. I declare hope. I declare strength. I declare blessing. Let it just rain down on us like the morning dew on a fresh-cut lawn. Oh, brother, let it just rain down ever so softly on our hearts. Let us know. Let us know you and your heart's desire to bless us. Let us know you and the reality of who you are, not in the fear of who other people tell us you are. The only fear we want is that reverence of you, Lord, that we would reverence you in all that we do, and that you would keep us from sin. Lord, let your blessing go generationally to our families, to our children, to our children's children. Prosperity. In the glorious and wonderful name that's above everything.